is to get help.
What?
Get help.
No.
Come on, you love it.
I hate it.
It's great. It works every time.
It's humiliating.
Do you have a better plan?
No.
We're doing it.
We are not doing get help.
We are. We're doing get help. Even if it's one more time, we're just doing get help one more time. I am Goo, sitting here with Wesley Sykes. Wes, we are but 1 week removed from the season finale. How is it sitting with you?
It's savored like a fine wine. It's only aged better, I think. And Goo, just to right off the bat say, I need some help with my hair. I need to get in touch with your barber because you're looking very lined up.
I got to go to the barber for the first time yesterday in like 6 weeks. Oh, dear God, I feel great. Me and my kid, he got his first haircut. I got my,
oh, very nice.
I don't know, 1 millionth, but it feels great. You know this. We are of a certain age. And once you hit that age, you start to get the whites on the side. So got to clean that up.
I've had this since 18, a nice little salt and pepper look. Now I'm getting to more salt than pepper in my adult 30 here. But question about your kid here. How did he fare in the barber
seat
for the first time?
He loved it. Yeah. He loved the sound of the buzzers. He loved the feel on his head. So we kind of lucked out right there because obviously it's a 50-50. The kid might freak out. The kid might like it.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, you know what this means then? You can finally show him Edward Scissorhands.
Finally. I've been waiting a year and we can finally do it.
Start him young.
So, Wes, what are we doing here today?
We are doing a wrap-up of Loki Season 1 here, and it's going to be very brief because, as we already mentioned on last week's episode, in previewing this week's episode, that both of our other podcasts, of course, the Mac and Goo Movie Club and
My Less Popular
My Mind podcast.
You're more popular.
Yes. Yes. Also did reviews of Loki as well. More in-depth, I believe, right around an hour. We did 90 minutes.
Yeah, so I would say that those are full in-depth episodes about the season of Loki, whereas right now we're doing an in-depth look, and when I say in-depth, 10, 15 minutes, on the season of Get Help. Specifically about us.
Yes, yeah. What we enjoyed most about our moments, I think Spider-Way No Man Home is quite up there.
I loved an episode one when you couldn't see my face, when I couldn't figure out the camera.
That's true. Yeah, that was
a good way
well.
To kick it off, I think.
Yeah, I thought it was a good way to start. It was a great way to maybe say like the whole time variant thing. We're working on a different timeline. I like it.
So what is the synopsis of this show? Now that we can actually say the full synopsis, because obviously when you start the show, you're like, tiptoeing around certain things. Well, are there variants? Who's this person? Who's that person? Now we know who everyone is.
Well, I'll tell you what, Goo. This also doesn't really give much away because it says the Mercurial villain, Loki, resumes his role as the God of Mischief in a new series that takes place after the events of Avengers Endgame. So it doesn't really say a whole lot, but of course, directed by Kate Herron, created for TV by Michael Waldron, who does Rick and Morty, and of course, Doctor Strange 2, Multiverse of Madness. And the Loki character is created by Jack Kirby, Larry Lieber, and Stan Lee.
Yeah.
Love Larry Lieber. Love that name. That's a strong name.
I assume the father of John Lieber, Chicago Cubs great.
Yes, or Philadelphia Phillies, one of my favorite fantasy baseball names I've had was John Lover and Lieber.
Much like John Lovitz and Leavitz.
Yes, exactly. See, we were on the same wavelength long before we even knew each other.
Of course.
That's the great thing about this. But IMDb gave this a series rating of 8.6 out of 10. And we've noticed this as we've been reviewing the episodes day of, that the IMDb ratings for the individual episodes also kind of vary as time goes on.
Yeah.
So episode 6 was a 9.5 after like the day of viewing. And has since gone down to 8.9, which I'm kind of surprised. That leaves episode 4 as the highest ranked episode of the season IMDb.
I do think that episode 5 is still my favorite. I love episode 6, but if you're going to tell me that episode 4 or episode 2 are the best episodes, I wouldn't fight you on that.
Yeah, I agree. Again, I think across the board, everyone is in agreement to episode 3 seems to be that low point in the series, and it kind of picks up there. That seems to be the kind of a turning point.
But also, if you want to look at it this way, if episode 3 is your worst episode, because episode 3 is a fine episode, it isn't the best, but it's fine. It does give you a couple big old juicy nuggets, but it's fine. If that's your worst episode, you're doing something right.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And that comes through overall. Again, if you want to look at Rotten Tomatoes, I think the series was a 92-86 split. And very oddly, they had episode one as the highest ranked episode at 97%, which, again, I think we've been on the record about this. I know I have, is that, you know, not really for us. It's for everyone else to kind of get involved in the show.
So I don't love episode one, but I like what it did and what its purpose was. What its glorious purpose was, was to introduce these characters, reintroduce other characters to an audience that might not know them, because we discussed this, is that the Thor movies are some of the lowest box office movies.
Yeah, again, outside of Thor Ragnarok there. And then to also lay the groundwork for what is a very heady, above-the-ears, fugazi-type stuff concepts with time travel and the multiverse and all this different stuff and variants. So they really had to kind of dumb it down and spoon-feed us what was going on.
And
there,
also,
which I get.
You're going to see this for all of the shows now, because at certain points, whether it's in the middle of the season, at the end of the season, these Disney Plus shows are the most popular shows in the world. So they're going to set the footing in those first episodes.
Absolutely, Goo. And speaking of footing here, now that we have our foot into the door of this episode and we've shared
feet fetishes? Is that what we're on now? Are we finally there?
I thought we could introduce Rex Ryan real quick and just kind of get his input on them.
You saw that Easter egg?
is that some sort of sexual term for feet? I don't know.
It should be.
It could be. I think it is now. But now that we've given our score, the IMDb and Rotten Tomatoes scores, what are your scores for the show overall? Not just on the episode by episode, but series.
So I want to give it somewhere of like a 94, 95. Out of 100, by the way. We're discussing here full percentages. Do you have a fly swatter at your house?
There was a fly that landed on my hand. I was hoping no one's going to pick that up. I missed it.
That's okay. But I want to say 94, 95 because I think that this season is a solid A. Do I think it's a perfect season? Close to it. Do I think that it's one of my favorite seasons of all time for any show? No. But I do think that it gets in there, six episodes, much like a British television show, gets in there, does what it needs to do. It advances all of the characters, sets a whole new story for next season, plus it advances the overall story for the MCU.
I think I'm right in agreement, so I did a nice little average of all the episodes here and then came up with an actual score instead of just making one up arbitrary. What a novel idea that is, right? I've never thought of that before.
Well, so you can do that. So I'm just going to jump on you for 1 second for that, because I think that you can do an overall score for all of the episodes, but then you can pull back and say, well, how far have we advanced from episode one to here? And then you can bump it up 1 or 2 points.
See, I like that from there, but just to get a baseline and then instead of just saying like, well, I liked it 94, 95, right? But the-
it. You can't just say, I like it, it's a 9. I like it, it's an A.
Yeah, it's pretty good, right? It goes back to that pretty good or good debate there. But 92 out of 100, that's for me there. Again, this is the highest ranked show of the Disney Plus shows that I've been out there.
I agree.
And again, the best piece of Marvel content since Avengers Endgame, in my opinion. And I'm a big Spider-Man Far From Home guy, so I really like that movie.
I feel
as
like
well.
People shit on that a bit too much now. Like, that was a fine watch, and it had a ton of really good action, had some really cool visuals. And although it's a bit overshadowed by its own post-credit scene, that's a good movie.
Oh, yeah. And it was just going around on social media recently that final end scene with the spider tingles and going through, again, another hallway fight scene with all the drones and Mysterio there. So, again, what an awesome scene that was.
Yeah.
But, you know, this show sticks the landing finally here. Jonathan Majors, I think, is going to be a tour de force the way they introduced him. And, again, just kind of let him cook for, I don't know, 30, 35 minutes or so of the episode. You know, Hiddleston and Wilson shine. We've talked about the Shakespearean aspect of this show with just two people in a room having conversations, very Game of Thrones-like in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. And someone who gets a little bit overshadowed in this, and I think kind of rightfully so with the ramifications of everything else, is Gugu Mbatha-Raw. I thought she was really
good,
strong character, and I'm very intrigued to see where she's going in the future of this and what her search for free will is.
And also, we quite haven't mentioned Sophia DiMartino as much as we should either, but I would like to say about her, I didn't love the character at first, but she definitely grew on me by the end.
She definitely did grow on me. I did like, again, the variant Loki, that love line, that love angle that we kind of got. I would have liked a little harder love angle, you know, a little sass,
little Penny,
if you will.
Well, I mentioned this in my less popular podcast, Mac and Goo, is that I would have loved it in that final episode when they kissed. They just went ahead and made love and Kang watched.
Yeah, right. Why not, right? I mean,
he's already seen everything else. Yeah, why not?
That look by the lake. Very, very nice stuff. Very, very well done there. But a couple questions to wrap things up, Gu. And perhaps we've already answered this other question.
And they all about us. I'm going to need you to please, if you're going to ask me a question, you need to introduce the segment.
That's very true. I can't say the word question without doing that. I'll get that locked in for maybe What If, maybe Hawkeye, who knows?
Yeah.
But what is the theme of this show, in your opinion?
Is it to love oneself? Is it self-discovery, I would say?
Well, see, you know, I think the very smart person in this group that we have is Mr. Nick Fryer. Of course, yeah. He is. I would say he's Ivy League educated.
But let me ask another question again. Is it fulfilling one's destiny? Because Loki, emotionally and where his head is at, is almost in the exact same spot of where he is at the end of Ragnarok. So he's still fulfilling his destiny of not quite being a villain and, you know, kind of teetering on that line.
Yeah, I mean, you know, like I said, Nick was saying along the lines of not falling under a certain label, being breaking out of the social norms that maybe shackle you down in day-to-day life and things like that. So I thought that was very interesting. But again, it all talks about like destiny and paving your own road and being your own person. But at the end, with the big reveal of He Who Remains, it all comes out that it's all a farce. Mm-hmm. The idea of free will and the ability to create your own path is just an illusion, which is, I think, kind of like runs concurrently with one another, you know, with that theme of free choice and will, where you know, Ravonna is on the search of at the end of, you know, her final episode. So I don't know. I'm kind of confused by it. So it's like, you know, the idea of finding your own free will only to be like, you don't have any choice at all.
Bro, variant themes.
Maybe. Okay.
It all depends on who is watching, on who remains, if you will.
This is a grand idea. You mean to tell me that someone who watches one piece of content can have one point of view?
I'm sorry. No, you're completely right. Everyone should think the exact same. I apologize to everyone out
there
for stepping on a ledge like an idiot.
This.
No. Yeah. Everyone needs to have hive mind. We all need to have the exact same scores. You gave it a 92, give it a fucking 94, or we're ending the podcast right now. We need to have the exact same score.
I like, okay. You know, I think it's good. Once we get the Neuralink chip kind of set up there, then we'll be able to not even have to have these conversations online. We'll just be wavelengthing it to each other. I like this. This is going in a great spot here. I like all this crazy stuff. What was your favorite moment for the season?
So I think that the awesomeness, that's a word, I suppose, but the way that they end episode 6 with the timeline splitting, I loved that. But I still think when classic Loki created Asgard in the void, I still think that was like, holy shit. Like, that is like the big moment in the series to me where I was like, you know what? This is special.
Yeah, I think that's very high up there for me. I think, you know, anything with Jonathan Majors on the screen, I think, you know, just kind of takes over this series almost by default. But I love the jumping back into history moments, the D.B. Coopers, the going to Pompeii and kind of affecting a little pieces of history there. Yeah. I thought that was a really nice touch, and particularly early on, right? Cause so often when we watch these series, we just get recency bias and talk about the last three episodes a little bit. But that was some of the things that the first few episodes did well, I thought.
So speaking of that, I would have liked a little bit more of that maybe. And also at the end of episode 2, Sylvie drops a bunch of time resets into different portals, and we never really get that paid off. So I would like that to be explained.
That's a good point. I thought they might have explained that, right? At some point, do they...
Oh, that they had to go and clean everything up or something. But like, there should have been more ramifications to dropping stuff on Sakaar, on Asgard, on New York. I don't know. I would have liked a little bit more with that.
I agree. I think that would have been a nice thing. Who do you think won or lost the series, Goo?
So I think who won is whoever created that setup for the final episode, for the introduction of Kang, knowing that you can hold this character off and build him up and still have it make complete sense. So whoever did that, they won this series.
Okay. I like that. See, and this was another comment from Nick Fryer here, who's been on fire recently. But he said that every MCU fan, I think this is finally kind of getting that fan service of giving everyone what we've expected, maybe wanting from WandaVision and hoping from, you know, Falcon and the Winter Soldier on a more ground level, but expanding of that universe. This really did that and kind of opened the doors to, you know, all the craziness that's about to ensue here. But I think obviously, you know, Tom Hiddleston has, I mean, his Q rating is very high right now, I would say.
And speaking of winning and losing, Jordan Roy points out that Doctor Strange lost the series. And I would argue this is the first time, this is the first show where at the end of it, I didn't yell, "Where the F is Doctor Strange?"
Yeah, again, I think he's going to have a lot of explaining to do, a lot of tongue lashings to give out there. But I think for someone who lost this series, I think you can make an argument for Sylvie, because, you know, she is the one that the character herself spends all her life trying to avenge this wrongdoing, right? Yeah. And she finally gets her opportunity to do it and then unleashes, like, this unholy war that's about to, you know, she is the one, she is the catalyst. She is the real
character
Loki
of Sylvie loses. You're saying like the character. I would almost say I'm not so in a different way. Cause I think that the way that Sylvie was used to then like push Loki along, I think that's kind of like the way that I would see her losing the series, like her purpose on the show. Although she is the, you know, character that set everything into motion at the end. And you could say that maybe she was using Loki, Loki was using her, but the whole love angle, and maybe that's what the loser is the love angle between the two of them.
Yeah, because that ends up not getting anywhere, at least, you know, at the end of the season. But I think the same thing could be said about Loki in a weird way, because if the whole point of the show was about self-discovery and finding out who you are, and you know, that line, I go back to him being in the time loop with Lady Sif and being like, you will always be alone, you will always be alone, and it keeps kind of getting hammered over. At the end of the show, he's literally alone in a different world that he has no idea. And, like, the people that he knows has no idea. So that is truly, like, a lonesome area. So he's kind of back in the place where he started again.
And then, you know, kind of the cop-out by Marvel of introducing him, having him come out as bi, and then immediately within one episode have him lusting after this woman.
Yeah, right? That's right. Yeah, yeah. Never really show anything that he is bisexual, right? Yeah. What if they didn't have Sylvie in the Citadel at the end with the big, with He Who Remains, but it was Mobius, and instead they have that kissing scene. They kiss.
That would have been something. No, that would have been a huge step forward for the MCU and for Marvel movies to actually do that.
Yeah. A couple big name guys. Uncle, you know, that's like a Brokeback Mountain, but
and then
in Marvel.
That also would have been, you know, he steps back and goes, wow.
Wow.
And that would have been the wow moment.
Yeah, I feel like I was just on a jet ski.
Yeah.
Pontificate on what this means moving forward as we wrap this up. So maybe to frame this a little bit more, which non-MCU Marvel character would you like to see pulled back into the fold?
Oh, so like we've already seen them and now...
Yeah, because I think this kind of brings up the equation here with all these different multiverses.
Yeah, okay.
Everybody can kind of be pulled back into the fold here with the, you know, rumors, spoiler alert there about Spider-Man, you know, far from No Way Home.
Okay, yeah. So, I mean, all the Spider-Man characters.
Right.
I would still really like to, and it's going to be tough because we're not going to have T'Challa, but I would have loved to have seen Storm in a Black Panther movie. That would have been cool.
Oh, okay. I like that. Now, Halle Berry Storm or
yes,
the new
I specifically
Storm.
Would like to see Halle Berry Storm. No, recast Storm, please.
See, I would like this to be kind of like a Secret Wars type thing where you have like multiple Marvel, like multiple actors who have played different Marvel characters, like Michael B. Jordan's Human Torch and Killmonger kind of coming back into the fold and squaring off. Chris Evans, Human Torch and Captain America. Like, I think that would be kind of funny.
And, you know, maybe this might be too difficult, but I would have loved it if the What If series was live action. I think that would have been great, but... I'm sure that the animation is going to be beautiful. It's going to be vibrant. It's going to look great. But I feel like when telling the story and getting it to a wider audience, I feel like if it was live action, that would have been dope.
Yeah. Oh, that would have been. Yeah. I mean, easily the most excitable series to if that were to happen.
Yeah.
Let me see here. Anything else you want to mention here as we're getting to it? Or
no,
you
know, I just really liked this show. And like you said earlier, I think this is the best of the MCU shows so far. If you're looking at Marvel shows in general, live action Marvel shows, I think I still have Daredevil season one ahead of it. But that's kind of pulling hairs. Is that a thing, pulling hairs? But,
yeah, sure. So. Splitting hairs.
Splitting hairs. Not. I'm not going to pull your hair, guys. Don't
you
worry.
You pull the hair up, yeah, but not out.
But yeah, I think that Daredevil season one, I still take over this, but this is like right behind it.
Yeah, I'm not a huge fan of the Netflix stuff. Again, what does it all mean? What does it all tie into? So I think that gives it, you know, this gives it the edge for me here.
Okay.
Before we go, we do have a question from the audience here from Sir Michael Douglas. I don't know what to say here about Hank Pym.
I'm surprised he's able to speak with as he's diving into hair pie.
All that cunning lingus that's going on here. Yeah. Really needs to wet his whistle. Kang, or at least a variant of him, is supposed to be a descendant of Reed Richards, right? I believe Nathaniel Richards or Franklin Richards, one or the other. Mm-hmm. He Who Remains even says his name in the final episode, and his last name is Richards, a scientist in the 31st century. Does the Fantastic Four movie play into this big time? I would have to imagine so, at least laying the foundational work.
And much like we just got a director for Blade, I feel like once we get the director for the Fantastic Four and some casting, because we still haven't gotten any news on that. So that's at least 4 years away until we get any of that news.
Right. And again, and I would say if this is laying like
this is the early bricks. This is the ground level, really.
Yeah, it's Ant-Man 3 that's really going to, I think, be the foundation, the basement of it.
Okay. All right.
If we're being contractors here, you know?
If we're looking to be contractors here, which that's the reason why we started the show.
Right.
So...
Right. Yeah. Hammer it home.
Hammer it home, babe. Just hit the nail on the head.
Oh, there we go. We're screwing ourselves here.
Yeah, we are. We are. So we're
is
not
this the end of the drill.
I don't think we're gonna have an episode next week, which is great because I'm on vacation. And
how am I gonna keep a roof over my head?
Maybe just come on.
This whole plot is springing leaks, Goon.
Maybe just come on and do this. Just come on and do this.
Yo, saw that Easter egg?
The new Easter eggs is Wesley dropping house puns and contractor puns.
Yeah, well, I think this whole show needs a renovation.
And maybe we'll have it for What If, or maybe we take a couple more weeks off and we dive back in. We're going to figure it out. You know what? Tweet at us and let us know what you want. How about that?
Yeah, you tell us, because we're the podcast of the people.
We are.
That's my bane.
That's great. I didn't know what it was at first. And you know what? Explaining it to me really helped.
Well, yeah, it also doubles as my English accent, too. So, like, you know, it's just kind of multi-purposeful that way.
So for the last time, we are glad that you guys came to...
Hey, let's do Get Help.
What?
Get Help?
No.
Come on, you love it.
I hate it.
It's great. It works every time.
It's humiliating.
Do you have a better plan?
No.
We're doing it.
We are not doing Get Help.